way that it should be. This song's about the night they spent protecting you from me. Someone called us outlaws, some old magazine. New York sent a posse down like I ain't never seen. Don't you think this has gotten out of hand? What started out to be a joke, all don't understand. Was it singing through my nose?
Yeah, that's a Waylon Jennings song you ever hear on the radio. And I use that as an analogy before we hit all the extra news here in a minute. You got Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, and a few other people up in Nashville, and they just got sick of being bossed around and the corrupt companies and everybody trying to control what they said did. Hank Williams Jr. to a great extent too, but he didn't leave. They moved down to Austin. And they got even more popular. And then folks said, oh, they're outlaw country, and people just love the term outlaw. So within about 5 years, they went from, you know, 10% of the country music gross to at one point like 70%, four or five artists. Well, I know Willie Nelson, been friends with him a long time, great guy. And I know Shooter Jennings, amazing son of Waylon Jennings, and I love Moan. But they'll tell you, that's not really outlaw. They were just doing what they wanted and being free. This is outlaw. This is rebel. This is changing the world. And this is winning. And it takes money to fight these people. I'm 100% committed. They thought if they took my house away and did stuff like that, harassed my family, I'd go away. They thought, no, I work even harder because I don't give a damn about money. I mean, I got my pay my bills, you know, whatever. Got medical insurance. I don't give a rat's ass about things. And they are so pissed off that we're still on air. I said this months ago because we keep adding to it. It's imminent. They're waiting on me to sign off on it. Huge civil rights lawsuit. Conspiracy against rights. It's going to be massive. Might be tomorrow. Might be Thursday. Might wait till Monday. I'm not sure. But I mean, I'm going over there today. So you want somebody to fight for you. Hey, I'm under attack too. I'm fighting for myself. But we're in this together. And I just did the whole last hour. Didn't plug. I need your support. And you decide to go to thealexjonesstore.com. Got a big sale going right now, up to 45% off, and get the ultramethylene blue. If you haven't taken it, you're crazy. Ultramethylene red, a proprietary product that goes great with methylene blue, but does its own things. It's amazing. Ultramethylene red, back in stock. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. 45% off, ultimate life force, cardiovascular super booster, atomic defense, 40% off bovine colostrum, sea moss capsules and gummies, turmeric, ultimate burn, natural fat burner. 35% off ultramethylene blue, Shilajit. Ultra DNA Revival. It's like DNA Force. And so many other great products at thealexjonesstore.com. I need your support. I need your help. Plus, these products work great. So for those of you that have been on the bench and never actually gotten the products, I'm talking to you. I love the folks that have been supporting. Thank you. You know how great the products are. You hear them call in. But for those of you on the fence, what are you doing? You're fighting for your own future when you back what I'm doing. Make no mistake, I need your support. Support yourself right now. TheAlexJonesStore.com, and I thank you.
We're going to make it, men!
Now look here.
Even to this very day, I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome to my home. We have all kinds of supplements.
Sometimes we have BOGO Sups.
We're always coming out with new products, and this is one of my favorites. You can shop for all of our supplements and apparel right here on the phone app.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
All right, I was already telling the producers days ago, I want to get Matt Bracken on. Former Navy SEAL, best-selling author, really knows his geopolitics, knows his counterterrorism, knows his New World Order. He's one of the smartest guys out there, and he's been very accurate. Been interviewing him for over a decade or longer. But I wanted to get him on about Somalia and what's happening here domestically and the deep state's next moves. I'm sure in the next hour he's going to spend some time on that. But this morning he said, well, yeah, I'm on the fourth hour, but I want to talk about this. And I said, well, of course, talk about whatever you want. And I knew about this, but it was in the back of my memory. I was like, oh, my God, that's so smart. You heard Ezra Levant on, who first warned Trump, if you keep saying 51st state, you're going to get the globalists reelected. They're at 50% approval rating. Within a month, they were at 40% and won. You're like, well, how do they win at 40%? Because it's a parliament. They got a whole bunch of parties. And so he should have said, we're going to liberate Canada politically. We're going to make deals good for everybody. They got monopolies up there. They screw the consumers. He could have done it that way and supported the secessionist movements. And, you know, it takes time to carve off stuff, even if we want to get Canada for the U.S. down the road. I mean, it was President Jackson at the Hermitage almost a decade before Texas independence that literally met with my mother's side of the family ancestors. And this has been released in the history books. And said, I want you to go with Protestants down there, and I want you to hand out the Bibles. We're going to launch a Protestant revolution. We know at a point they're going to come in and try to suppress everybody, and we'll use that as a leverage point. You take it first, and then set up your own zone, and then we'll come in. And Jackson thought it would probably take 10 years. So that's long-term thinking. Yeah, I mean, the thing about, oh, Santa Ana came and oppressed us and we did this. Yeah, right. I mean, he was an oppressor, but we didn't just, you know, it was cooked up. But it took 10 years, and a lot of people were willing to die. And they sent in the best they had. Davy Crockett and Sam Houston, all those guys. I mean, you're talking Conan the Barbarian for real with the case of Houston. Good God. They called him the Raven, the Native Americans, because he was like psychic and always knew what they were going to do. And it was written by in a French history book. They observed it, like where he like killed 20 Indians himself. I mean, we're talking wild man. But the point is, I was up in Tennessee. The point is that's what Texas came out of was people like Houston. But the brain trust was Andrew Jackson. But at the end of the day, as long as it's an economic ally, that's what matters. It's under globalist Chi-Com UK control now. We don't want that on our doorstep. And more important than Venezuela is Canada. And more important than Greenland is Canada. So now if Trump's just, I'm going to take it, it's mine. You already have the Inuits. I showed you interviews that Nick Shirley did a few months ago when he went there. He's talking to the Inuits, who are more than half the 45,000 people that live there. And they're like, no, we want America. We want Trump. We don't want to have Denmark running us. Well, Trump with this, you know, I'm going to send the military in, just set himself up for real failure. Because it looks tyrannical. This is not Venezuela that's been stealing our elections or flooding us with drugs. So Bracken made the point that, and this is on record, Denmark has apologized for forcefully sterilizing half the women when they're like 10, 11, 13, putting IEDs in them that were designed to sterilize you. In many cases, them not even knowing, but forcing them to do it. Well, those women now are old women, and they're the biggest part of the population. Trump should talk about how Denmark did that and how we want to do a deal like Alaska has, where the citizens get part of the oil and gas revenue and come in and make it a protectorate. They would do it. The way Trump is doing this, I get, is to embarrass NATO, and he's mad about the Ukraine war, and he wants to put pressure on him. But it's a very base-level trolling, and I want to get Matt Bracken's take on what he thinks Trump's doing versus his idea of making a big issue about, hey, Denmark sterilized you, America won't do that, and getting them signed up for a portion of their oil and gas money. I think that's the winning scenario. Matt Bracken of EnemiesForeignAndDomestic.com takes over now. Thank you, Matt Bracken.
Yeah, that's, it's called the spiral case, the spiral IUD. It looks like a little snake, like a caduceus snake, and they can insert it in a straight little tube, okay, and then pull the tube out, and then thing spirals up in the girl's uterus. These girls were in classrooms, you know, Danish classrooms, Inuit girls. They'd be called out to the clinic. Oh, you know, Nancy, you got to go see the doctor. She has no idea what's going on, 13, 14 years old. Next thing you know, her feet are up in stirrups, and she's being invaded. And something's put in her. She doesn't even know it. They did this from the 60s to the 90s. This was generations of Danish doctors and nurses did this without these girls' knowledge, permission, not their parents' knowledge or permission. It was a genocide. A lot of these girls, similar to what happened in some of the Canadian schools, in further back in the 19th century, early 20th century, with some of the Indian schools, they were, you know, they were trying to adopt them into Denmark to turn them into little Danes, so they'd be sent with a Danish family. But they all got these IUDs put in them. They didn't want any more of these.
And for those who don't know, not just to them, but a lot of these early IUDs, they knew would end up sterilizing the majority of women that got them. So they knew what they were doing. So it wasn't just against their will violating the Nuremberg Code. It was also straight up sterilization. And so, like, and you said,
this is real Mangala stuff, where you have doctors and nurses that are, it's not like it happened once under some rogue doctor and nurse. You know, these people are assigned for a couple of years, like military, right? And they would be giving a turnover to the next doctor and nurse and saying, yeah, this is what we do. We put the IUD in these girls. And
now,
nobody
what I was
said,
reading is, even though you're supposed to get those out in a year, they still cause problems. They wouldn't even tell these women. I was reading articles. Women would find out 20 years later they had these.
They're not right. But imagine a nurse showing up and being briefed on this program and saying, that sounds fine with me, as long as I get my paycheck from the Danish government. This is real evil stuff, because it went on for decades. And that means doctor and nurse after doctor and nurse.
So Trump should say, Denmark raped you. We won't. We're going to get you oil and gas money as restitution.
Yeah. And I've seen a couple of reporters. I think Shirley was up there saying, you know, would you vote for America for $100,000? I think you're exactly right. That's cheap. That's chump change. You know, that's like handing, that's like in Trading Places, offering Eddie Murphy whiskey, cigars. You know, that's chump change. That's wampum. Give them a piece of the action. Anything that comes out of here, 10, 20% is going to go into a fund. And some of the Gulf states also do this. It's how the ruling class in these Gulf states become popular, because their citizens actually get a cut. You know, the taxes go the other way to the citizens.
And it's not a reparations. It's not 200 years later. It is restoration for living people.
That's right. And some of these women that had pain and medical problems, they finally go and get an X-ray, and they find this thing in them in their middle age. And I mean, just imagine. And people say, well, Matt, what about the Tuskegee experiment is very misunderstood. Nobody was injected with syphilis. They didn't treat them. They were used as a control group compared to, I mean, the treatments then were barbaric anyway. Like,
but it's still wrong, but this was even more premeditated. But listen, it's simple. Trump says, we will set it up where you get oil and gas money for restitution for being sterilized, and set up a national fund for your children, and you will be autonomous, but it'll be a protectorate. And then exactly, instead of ham-fistedly saying, I'm going to send the military in.
Right. And this is where you can offer a whole palette of options, from from potentially statehood, which is unlikely, but also a territorial, you know, you've got territory like Puerto Rico status, Virgin Island status, Guam status, Saipan status. They have different degrees of autonomy. And, you know, you may or may not be able to vote in American elections, things like that. But you will be able to travel to America. Americans who can go there and work. They would absolutely boost their standard of living, modernize their fishing fleet, all of that. So yeah. But the main thing about this, it's not the rare earths. Rare earths under a mile of ice may or may not ever be a thing. Same thing with the oil. Oil at under $60 a gallon, or excuse me, a barrel, it's not even worth getting the oil out of Venezuela, right? Because it's just cost. Nobody's going to set up.
Yeah, Trump told the truth there, but that we don't even need it, but it's strategic.
It's the location is strategic. And I sent a couple of polar maps over, and that we are so used to seeing this stupid Mercator map where you know, North America is in the middle of the square rectangular world map and Greenland looks gigantic. If Americans started looking at the world and said, yeah, look at it this way. Canada, Alaska, Greenland is like across from Russia. These are sea routes. As it does melt, if it is melting some, these routes, like right above the word Canada, we have a route that goes, you know, the Northwest Passage.
Well, it doesn't matter because of all the icebreakers, it's open anyways.
And we don't have icebreakers. That's the thing. The Russians already have 8 nuclear icebreakers. And, you know, it matters that they're nuclear because they're never going to get stuck in the ice and run out of fuel like the Franklin expedition, right? You don't want to have a fuel-based icebreaker. If it gets stuck, who's going to bring it fuel, right? Nobody. So they're gigantic. They're twice as big as the ones we're going to have built. But what it points to is, We are aiming towards a world that is divided into resource zones. The whole Pax Americana from the end of the Second World until recently is coming to an end. We're not only going to have economic influence spheres, we're actually going to fight for our zones. That's what Venezuela was about. We're going to kick the Chinese, the Russians, the Cubans out of South America if we can. You know, big stick policy.
What it's do you interesting. Expect Trump to do at Davos? Already Lundin and others flamethrowed him today and said, you're tyrants, you're criminals. Even the Financial Times called Carney a globalist scumbag. I mean, they're falling apart.
I think it's great. But I, you know, something you were talking about with Ezra Levant, which was a fabulous, fabulous interview. I mean, the guy's awesome. Very brave also, because he's like behind he's behind the Iron Curtain there in Canada increasingly. Trump makes blunders, as you pointed out, calling Trump, you know, we're going to make Canada the 51st straight state might have led to Carney being their leader. Probably did. But, you know, Trump at least is a bar fighter. You know, if you have a choice between, you know, a sissy pussy GOP elite establishment guy that's always measuring the outcomes. No, we can't. We don't want to stack the delegates in our state because it wouldn't be fair. You know, we don't want to lower ourselves to fighting like the Democrats. Trump at least will walk into the bar and start throwing punches. And some of his punches will miss. And sometimes he'll embarrass you. But at least he's a fighter. And imagine who else we would have had, you know, Mitt Romney or McCain, Lindsey Graham, Ted Cruz, these guys. I mean, and I disagree with a lot of Trump's positions. I wish we weren't so on the leash by Israel trying to pick a war with Iran we don't need. You know, that we need to focus at home. We've got an insurrection in Minnesota. Other ones could be spreading in Portland, you know, in Canada, in Austin, Texas, where the Antifa is being emboldened. So we really need to focus at home. I think that Trump is afraid to call the Insurrection Act right now because he's like a showman. And right now the show is Davos. And he doesn't want to steal the thunder of Davos by declaring an Insurrection Act while he's on this world stage. So he's letting that simmer. But Minnesota is absolutely a red line for the federal government. If they can't get control of people that are going into churches or, you know, beating people on the street, you know, I go back to, well, I was only 5 years old, but in 1962, John F. Kennedy, who the Democrats and everybody loves now, you know, he's practically a saint. He sent 31,000 troops to Oxford, Mississippi, because the frat boys were giving, you know, black students a hard time. Nobody was beat up in church, you know, beat up, dragged out of cars. Nobody was like blocking FBI cars, honking horns. Nobody was getting accosted on streets or dragged down the street, you know. But they sent 31,000 soldiers and the whole 101st Airborne Division with guns all over the Ole Miss campus, tents, just dominated, more soldiers than students. That's how JFK said, you're going to desegregate and you're not going to give us a hard time about it. That's over. No more Confederacy. No more, you know, the federal government's in charge. If Trump doesn't get a hold of Minnesota, this is January. It's 18 degrees up there. What's going to happen when it's summertime up there if we don't get a hold of that? So I think we need to focus at home. Forget Iran for the, you know, forget it. I mean, we don't even know how much of that's AI generated, you know, slop of all the morgue scenes. We don't know, but we're trying to not, let's not get distracted overseas when we've got an insurrection at home. And we could bring Greenland in, but it has to be done. It has to be sold as the Greenland Purchase. Everybody thinks the Alaska Purchase was one of the most brilliant moves ever. At the time, it was called, what, Seward's Folly? A few million dollars. We got Alaska from Russia. They were broke at the time. They sold it to us. You know, we did the Gadsden Purchase. That was for gold. The Mexicans offered to throw in Baja California, like for a few more million in gold. And we said, no, thanks. But so we bought that, you know, we had a war with them. Then we had a treaty. We bought it from them with gold. Hawaii, if anything, was a complete just theft. We basically just sent Marines to Hawaii and said, the Navy says we need these islands. We're taking it. And is anybody seriously saying, you know, America should give Hawaii back to the Hawaiians? That we should just give it up as a state, let it be independent, let them bring the Chinese Navy in instead? Of course not. So I put in terms of strategic importance going forward, Greenland is just as important to us as Hawaii or as you know, Cuba, Venezuela, that area, that part of our periphery, or Alaska. When you look at the polar maps, you really have to study the polar maps. Greenland is like key, super key terrain. Yeah, I love that map. If Russia, Canada, and America were ever on the same team, nobody in the world could touch us. We would be the league of our own. But instead, we've driven Russia and China together. That was the neocons, the whole Ukraine thing, that we imported this ancient blood feud. Michael Yon calls it Jurassic Trailer Park. All of these neocons from Eastern Europe, you know, there may not be particularly religious, but they do belong to one kind of a cultural religious grouping. They were booted out of Russia even before communism, or they left. They have this blood feud hard on for Russia that has been dominating our foreign policy. We have, you know, since World War II, American diplomacy's prime order was don't let Russia and China get together. And the neocons have done that. They have pushed China and Russia together. And if China and Russia become an economic bloc, which they are, you know, are doing now, They won't need our sea lanes. They'll be able to just, you know, gas, oil, products, everything, Russia to China. And that's why those Arctic sea routes on the top are so important. They've got 8 giant nuclear icebreakers. They're like 570 feet long and 112 feet wide, which means a giant tanker can just follow behind them. A really big tanker can follow behind them. the icebreakers that we don't even have that we're talking about building in Finland are half that size. So we're not even in the game. And the other important things up in the polar war, the polar struggle will be the submarines, and Russian nuclear submarines are made for operating under the ice. Ours can too, but not like the Russians. They are designed to go through ice and launch missiles, whatever they have to do, or follow these icebreakers stealthily, behind the icebreakers. But we are just coming to the grips with how important the polar region is going to be. And Greenland is like the keystone. It's like chips on a table waiting to be picked up. The Danes are what they had a claim, because Vikings were there 1,000 years ago and their settlement died out. Then in the 1700s, they landed, planted a flag, and said, "We plant a flag in this 1 kilometer, and the 1,000 kilometers north and south and east and west all belongs to us now because we said so." No economic development, no nothing. Just, hey, we planted a flag, it's ours. You look at little tiny Denmark, it's like 1% of the size of Greenland. And it's further from Denmark to the capital of Greenland than it is to Boston or New York. The capital of Greenland is actually closer to America and much closer to Canada than it is the little teeny Denmark. It's like the Grand Duchy of Denmark. I mean, they're going to control that. There's no way. We need to make a good offer to Greenland. Let them decide what kind of status they want. Do they want to be a territory? What are they, what degree of independence they want? Give them a great deal. Any resources brought out, it's going to be given to the people there. I think that Greenland can be gotten just like the Alaska Purchase, less violently than Hawaii, but we need to sell it the right way. And I think that the spiral IUD case and the offer of a resource sharing program, that's absolutely the way to do it. And I don't know. I wish that Trump was a little bit better at marketing. He has some smart people like what Stephen with Miller, but I don't know. Sometimes he gets ahead of himself with the braggadocio and the his vainglorious ways, and it doesn't work. Look at who's running Canada right now. It's not a good thing there. But if we are going to be splitting into different zones, Canada trying to be an ally with China, it's not going to work. I know that the Chinese have practically taken over Vancouver, but in the end of the day, Canada is going to be right between Alaska and American Greenland. So Canada is going to definitely be in our sphere of control, no matter what they think. It's how it's going to work. And we'll develop this theme a little bit more on the other side, and talk about a few other stuff, a few other things. I see the time is running out, but there we go. Okay, yeah, we're definitely coming into a new world that is split into zones, and the globalists, they're done.
High noon, black dollar rolling.
I want to thank the viewers and listeners for your endless and tireless support over the years. We try to make it easy to be supporters with fabulous products that really enrich and empower your life. A wide selection of Patriot apparel, ball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, you name it. All sorts of really cool knives, collectibles, and the most important, the best supplements you're going to find anywhere. Whatever the highest rated is, whatever has the best studies, whatever has the 5-star reviews. I mean, if you don't get our ultramethylene blue, if you don't get our bovine colostrum, that's the very best. If you don't get our Shilajit, our CMOS, you're crazy. If you don't get our turmeric, that's the strongest out there. Anti-cancer, anti-inflammatory, so good for you. You're crazy. Big sales going on the site, 40% off on things like the World War II modern version trench knife, limited edition InfoWars black on white trucker hat, free with every order. And they had this thing going since Thursday. I didn't notice it until Sunday, so I had them extended one day today. But that's it. Every order gets one of these, limited edition, in there. So get yours now, thealexjonesstore.com. But with the deals we got, we need to sell a lot of stuff to fund this operation. So do yourself a favor, Mr. Sit on the Fency. I'm not mad at you. I'm telling you, Get the methylene blue. We have the best. It is so good for you. It is so game-changing. So good for your mind. So good for all your cells. So good for telomeres. Just get a bottle of Ultra Methylene Blue. Support the broadcast. Finally, because we got even more documents in and more depositions and things, we are about to file our huge, massive civil rights suit with conspiracy against rights, all the proof, the DOJ, the CIA, the Democratic Party, you know, the law firms. I mean, this is a... And by the way, under the rules, we had to show them the suit a few weeks ago. And they went completely ape and threatened us and everything else with, you know, all this stuff they're going to do. Great. Because we got all the evidence up one side and down the other. But I'm taking on the big boys. So know this. The majority of the funding you send us buying products goes to the fight against the tyrants. And we are fully committed to that. They want this show off the air because I know what I'm talking about. That's why I get mad at the shows that are, you know, innuendo and conspiracy theories. I've never been a conspiracy theorist, folks. That's what the media calls me. That's a CIA term. I am an analyst. I'm a futurist. And I know what I'm talking about. And my guests know what they're talking about. You know my rule. Who do I have on all the time? People that are consistently right. I associate with people that got their acts together. And I can tell you, we know what we're doing. This broadcast belongs to you. You built this. It's fighting for your future, my future, all of us collectively. But we can't do it without you. Make the commitment in this ocean of media and information. The bad guys particularly hate this show because we know what we're doing. We're steering people right. But we can't take these people on without you. I need your support. Word of mouth, prayer, and financial support. And I make it damn easy. This is a win-win. All you got to do is go to thealexshowstore.com.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
You are listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Yeah, I've got a few more things that I thought of going back to the Ezreal event part. There's a book that should be on everybody's bookshelf. You can get it off of, you know, Amazon used marketplace for $3 or something. It's called The Nine Nations of North America by Joel Garreau, like E-A-U at the end. That was written in 1981, and it shows North America from, you know, Mexico to the tundra, how it really would be split up if it was the economy and the people. And Montana and Alberta are like the same thing. And that's kind of how that's the world we're morphing into. This book is a total classic, and the guy really had a fantastic ability to look into the future, because it's breaking greatly along the lines that he predicted, but, you know, almost 50 years ago. Then the history of America is a history of, let's face it, we started with the 13 colonies, and the Indians didn't hand them over to us, the 13 colonies. We did a lot of pretty brutal things along the way. Andrew Jackson had the Trail of Tears, where the Cherokees were pushed out of the Southeast. We had, not so well known, the Choctaw Wars in Alabama and Mississippi. These were not exactly friendly skirmishes either. Yeah, we were fighting for the land, and it was a bloody fight, not by standing army, basically by volunteer militias that were called up for a matter of months. That's the way we rolled then, not even in uniforms really. And these were brutal wars to take the Alabama, Mississippi area, Tennessee, of course, with what's his name? Davy Crockett, who then goes to the Alamo. As Alex was saying, the conquest of the Southwest, that was a long process. That didn't happen overnight. And it wasn't just because of, a bad move by Santa Anna or anything else. It was in the works a long way. And you had the Louisiana Purchase. That's even earlier. That was Thomas Jefferson. So Napoleon was broke over in fighting in Europe. He needed the gold. That was, that's how wealth was actually transferred. It was like chests of physical gold. He needed the gold. We sent him some gold. We got the entire Louisiana Purchase, which like more than doubled the size of the United States. We had a quasi war with Great Britain over where the border would be between Canada and Washington State. We have been fighting for this territory for a long, long time. And imagine today if we didn't have Hawaii. Let's say Hawaii, we were a bunch of very neutral, libertarian, airy-fairy types 100 years ago. There would be a Chinese Navy in Hawaii. It wouldn't be vacant. Same thing with Alaska. Imagine if we had not picked up Alaska, if Russia owned Alaska as well as all of Siberia and the rest of what it owns. It would be like in our backyard. At least we have a Bering Sea between us and Russia because our forefathers had the foresight to purchase that. I just wish that Trump would package Greenland better as the Greenland Purchase. And it's like a perfect symmetry, really. When you look at that, at the map of Northern Canada, you've got Alaska on the west shoulder and Greenland on the right shoulder. And as the world splits into not only spheres of economic influence, but physical spheres of control, we're not going to let the silver go from Mexico and Peru to China. China is not exporting any of its silver into the world. The world is splitting into zones of what you can physically control. So these choke points are going to matter. And, for example, Japan's bond market is collapsing. We're their ally. The contagion could spread to this country. We could be seeing a slow motion economic domino effect collapse, beginning maybe with Japan. What can we do about it? Japan is effectively out of our reach now. So same thing with South Korea, same thing with Taiwan. Our Navy can function in peacetime for showing the flag. Once in a while, we'll dash through the Taiwan Straits. But nobody is thinking realistically that if China blockaded Taiwan, we could go in and break the blockade. I don't think China will do a D-Day landing in Taiwan anytime soon, but they can certainly blockade it. And these are nations, Korea, particularly Japan and Taiwan, they import half of their food. They will starve if the ships stop coming. So right now, those are inside of China's sphere of control. That's why we're moving against countries like Venezuela, going to move against Mexico, trying to nail down Greenland, trying to exert control in Canada, even though that backfired, calling it the 51st state. So yeah, we are dividing the world up like on that risk board, and the 75 years or so of the American Navy keeping the sea lines of lanes of communication open around the world, that's coming to an end. I think that one of the big lessons was the Red Sea being closed effectively by the Houthis that don't even have a navy firing missiles at our ships. So we're now going back maybe more than 100 years to the control zones. What can your Navy actually physically control? We can't save Japan. We can't save Taiwan. If Japan, in the midst of its collapsing economy, thinks that it's going to build up a new Navy like it's the 1930s going into World War II, they won't be able to, because China can just turn on and turn off their supply of iron and everything that they would need to build a Navy. You know, Japan is now, for good or for ill, same thing with Korea, it's falling under China's shadow. That's just a fact. You know, our Navy can go over there and visit right now, but if China really wants to push us around in that area, they can, because our ships can't get close enough to help Japan or Taiwan before we'd be just salvoed by Chinese missiles. And pretty much the same thing with China trying to exert control over its long-term contracts for silver and other minerals coming out of Mexico and Peru. If we just say no, we're going to put sanctions on those ships. We're going to call those Chinese ships part of an illegal shadow fleet. You know, we don't recognize those contracts. The whole idea of contract law when it comes to the maritime law, I think it's coming to an end. We're seeing that with America unilaterally declaring certain ships to be sanctioned. Sanctioned by who? The UN? No, us. So we get a judge that says, yes, that's an illegal ship. Then we send the Coast Guard and board it. Well, you think that the rest of the world isn't paying attention, that they're not going to respond in kind? Of course they are. You know, we blew up the Nord Stream pipeline to split Germany and Europe off from cheap Russian gas. Nobody's fooled by that. You know, we can deny it. It's not even plausible deniability. Our Navy did that. We did it. And we've also attacked Russian ships, two of them in the Mediterranean, many more in the Black Sea. We're going to keep seeing this. This is like a basketball game with a lot of elbows coming out now. You know, this is not the sissy version of basketball. This is, you know, this is where you get a concussion. Because, you know, Russia has a lot of advantages. They're like the storehouse of natural wealth for the world. And they share a border with China. As long as they can maintain friendly relations, they'll both be massively benefiting. But Russia has some weaknesses too. I mean, just geographically, they don't have access to the ocean. They can only get to the ocean through the Black Sea to the Mediterranean, or through Murmansk up around Norway, and then down through the Greenland, Iceland, UK gap. Or out from Vladivostok. And even Vladivostok is semi-trapped behind, you know, islands that are completely patrolled by our submarines. So Russia doesn't have all aces in their deck. But we are now coming to the point where our Navy can't just go around the world doing whatever it wants to anybody it wants. People learned from the Yemen experience. We run out of missiles real fast. We can slap countries like Syria or Libya around. But if a country in a choke point wants to throw missiles at our ships, we run out fast. And the math doesn't work. They throw a $20,000 missile at our ship. We fire $4 or $5 million worth of missiles to shoot it down. And in 30 missiles, we're out of missiles. The ship has to leave. And meanwhile, Yemen's just bringing up more trucks with more missiles. So yeah, we're no longer in this world where America can dominate the globe. So I think Trump is on the right track in splitting the world into what can we actually control. And that's where we're going to have to be a little bit more diplomatic with Canada, a little smarter how we deal with them, turn Greenland into the Greenland Purchase, not we're going to invade it. You know, the Chinese now are talking to the Europeans. Who cares? The Chinese, what can they do with Europe? Europe is a lost cause. Demographically, they are not reproducing. They allowed in millions of fighting age Mohammedans, Muslim men, that are going to rise up if there's ever any serious right-wing party that tries to deport them. They're going to find out that they're all armed suddenly. and it'll be a bloody civil war. So as far as I'm concerned, and Trump has as much as said it, and so has Vance, Europe's a write-off. Europe will be lucky to be a theme park. Come and see come and see some pretty castles, but they can't produce cars. They don't make any energy on their own. So Europe is screwed. And this is one thing that kind of connects to the next book I'm writing, which is on Ireland. If Ireland sticks with the EU, which it probably will, Ireland has a pretty serious inferiority complex when it comes to how it sees itself in the greater European picture. It definitely sees itself as, the little poor cousin of countries like Germany, the UK, France. So they are thrilled to be in the EU. But the EU for Ireland is a suicide pact, because it doesn't matter economically if they benefit in some small way if every year hundreds of thousands of more migrants are pouring into Ireland and they can't stop it. Because anybody that makes it to France can get on a rubber boat, then they're in the UK, then they catch a ferry over to Northern Ireland, and they catch a bus to Dublin. There's absolutely no way to stop that flow as long as they're in the EU. So as Europe either slides into a depression or a civil war, or even a religious civil war, a religious ethnic civil war, Ireland may be America's ace in the hole, because Ireland has very strong ties to America because of the Irish famine diaspora. So there are a lot of Americans that look at Ireland and wonder what the hell is going on. Well, Ireland has a couple unique advantages. If the UK completely is torn apart in a civil war, I mean, the other day we're seeing thousands of men dressed like ISIS marching in a UK city. I forgot the city. But when they're marching, when you see 1,000 Muslims marching in black, that's a pre-Civil War demonstration. This is what you do before Yugoslavia breaks up. You decide, oh, we're going to have a little marching club and we're all going to wear the same kind of camouflage. No guns yet, but we're organizing into platoons, companies, battalions. And we're demonstrating to the locals, don't mess with us. Because we can put 1,000 men on the street. Can you Brits do that? Hell no. Plus the police are on our side. So we are watching Europe in its death throes, collapsing, as far as I'm concerned. Demographically, they don't have a chance. Already in Germany and other countries, half of the children or more in school are Muslims. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to work out the math, how that goes. If half of the boys under 20 are already Muslims, you're screwed. So whenever you hear people say, oh, don't worry, in Minneapolis or here or there, they're only 10%, they're only 20%. Yeah, but their women are having 5 kids, and yours are having 1.1. You work that out in 20 years, you're done. So Europe, I think, is at best going to face a terrible civil war and economic collapse. They don't have any energy. And then what happens? Maybe Ireland gets peeled away. It's something that most people will never have a reason to think about, but say, what are the biggest rivers in the British Isles, if you count Ireland? Well, maybe it's the Thames in England. No, it's the Shannon River, which faces the open Atlantic to the west. It's the biggest river in the British Isles. It has major ports. It has the biggest airport in Ireland in terms of the runway. It's always been like a strategic military runway for the U.S. when we're like doing big logistical pushes like Desert Storm. So Shannon Airport, right next to the city of Limerick, on the Shannon River, you've got a port. You've got fuel facilities where the big super tankers come in with oil. You've got wind farms. You have natural gas. That's all in the west of Ireland. At a certain point, as the UK falls to the caliphate or to a civil war, Ireland could be the eastern anchor of our island chain. We'll have, you know, Canada, hopefully we get on better terms with Canada, Greenland, Iceland, Ireland, and the rest of Europe, God help them, because it's going to be, the women are either going to be wearing burqas or it's going to be a civil war. That's it. I mean, there's no party in Europe at this point which can be elected and begin mass deportation. The Muslims will not allow it. At that point, it'll be discovered that, gosh, they have all these guns. We didn't know it. So they won't just be marching. They'll be marching with guns. And that's coming in Europe. I'm sorry. I don't see any other way around it. Now, something else I want to touch on today. Been watching, you know, I've been a gold and silver bug for many, many years. I was buying silver when it was under $10 an ounce. Now it's in the mid-90s today. And I want to mention to people that haven't begun stacking, you know, that it's like a parallel term to prepping now, stacking. If you think $90 is too much to spend for an ounce of silver, I think it's short-sighted. You're going to look back when it's $200 and say, why didn't I buy silver when it was under 100? You know, this is only going one way. This is not like a stock bubble. This is not like a tech bubble. This is a complete reorganization of the global financial system. The fiat paper currency era is imploding. It's coming to an end. You know, the father of this John Maynard Keynes, he was a childless gay man who made commodities trades in his bathrobe, supposedly, and he's the father of this modern monetary theory. And when he was asked, how long can you do this? I mean, at a certain point, this Ponzi scheme has to blow up. How long can it last? He said, in the long run, we're all dead. Meaning, I won't see it. I don't have any children. It'll be great during my lifetime and maybe for a few generations after that. Well, eventually, every Ponzi scheme has to blow up. And we're on the verge of seeing that happen. And I've got a few little, I made a new little demo here. Why is the middle class so broke? Why can't young couples afford a house? What happened? It's so popular, it's common to blame the boomers, as if like the boomers stole all the money and didn't leave anything for the Zoomers, for Gen Z. It's all the boomers' fault. Yeah, I was born in 1957. In that era, we were paid with real money. They couldn't just print an unlimited amount, which they began to do in the 60s to fund under LBJ, was called guns and butter. We're going to spend billions we don't have in Vietnam, and we're going to spend billions we don't have on the Great Society program, you know, putting it into the ghettos. All of that money was created out of thin air. Until 1964, Americans were paid with real money. It couldn't be printed. You can't print silver. Even if you had a dollar bill, it said on it, silver certificate. You could take it to the bank and say, you know what? I just as soon have a silver dollar handed over as the paper. If you like carrying paper in your wallet, you could. But you could go to the bank and say, I'll take mine in silver. So in 1964, this was the minimum wage. All right. The minimum wage was $1.25. Those coins today are worth $85, but the minimum wage is only 7 1/4. So if the silver that a man was paid as the minimum wage in 1964, if that's now worth $85, why isn't the minimum wage $85? The difference between $85 and $7.25 is the planned inflation which happened. That was a theft from the middle class. Our money was diluted and our wealth was stolen by inflation. It's not like the weather. It's not just something that happens, you know, like a natural effect, like the temperature rising. This was a wealth transfer. The bankers, the Fed, And the bankers, they print the money. Their friends get the money. The hedge funds, Goldman Sachs, they get the money. They then buy up everything with the money before it's inflated. Our money in the bank is worth less every generation. And now a young couple can't afford a house. In the 50s, one salary was enough to buy a house. The wife could stay home and raise the kids. They could have a car, go on vacation on one salary. And that's gone. That was stolen. That was our birthright that was stolen. We're coming to the end of that cycle now, where we're going to eventually have a financial collapse, and this will be money again. And I do recommend silver, because this little gold coin over here is worth so much. It's like $464. You can't buy groceries with a $464 gold dime. You're going to need silver. All right, I see we're running out of time. I always forget to plug my own books. I do sell these still. It's, you know, my main mission in life are getting these message books out. And if you go online, you can get them from Amazon, but I get almost zero from Amazon. If you buy them from me through my website using PayPal or cash or checks, I'll even sign them. And then you won't be giving most of your money to Jeff Bezos. But if you want them on Audible or Kindle, you have to go to Amazon. And I'll sell them cheap. When the more books that you buy at a time, the better it is, because postage goes down rapidly with larger boxes. Selling onesie twosies is cost you more and cost me more in printing or in postage. But anyway, I would strongly suggest it's not too late to start buying silver. It's really, you're not buying silver. You're exchanging a currency which is becoming worth less every week for a currency which will hold its value. And I mean, I wish that I had bought more, but I'm still going to buy even at $90. Anyway, thanks to Alex for the opportunity, and I'll see you the next time that I'm invited on the show. And that's all I've got for today. Bye-bye.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You financed it. You paid for it. With your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWars.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King, Make No Peace with Evil, Saint Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me. And it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens before they're hatched. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching anything, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like in Star Trek, Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.